Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
Here's a question I have. Before I get started on what God has laid on my heart today, why are you here? You don't have to shout that out and answer, but in your mind, would you answer that before I get started today? Because I pray that my four-point message today might provide some correction. It might provide some edification. It might provide an answer that you didn't even know you needed. But why are you here? Well, that's just what we do. I don't know why you're here. But I'm glad you're here. And I do believe with all that I am that it's never an accident that someone shows up at church. It was on purpose and it was for a purpose. Yeah. But what I'm telling you is if you can't answer the why, you won't remain. Right. So you have to know why. Last week I started a series, and if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to it. It was basically my title again today, Why Church? Why Church? I mean, that had to be answered for Michelle and I. Why church? Because we came from different backgrounds, and we had to answer why church and what church? And so I last week quoted Mark Zuckerberg. Not a great thing to be quoting from, but he had a goal and a vision and excitement about where he was headed. He wanted to get people involved in community and to make, actually, Facebook, he said, the new church. I quote him. He said that people could find purpose and support online that previous generations only found by going to church. That's a big statement. I don't know if you've thought about that. But now see, obviously, I want you to know today, his vision has not happened because Facebook is not the new church. It's not. But it's accomplished some things that the church needs to get back. See, Facebook has provided an escape for people and pretends to give them something that really is not given. It's not given. Church is this. It's real people in real spaces with one another having face-to-face real conversations. And that means at times it's messy. At times it's like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. Well, what I'm telling you is it's way different than the algorithms. They want to feed you what you want to hear. And what I want you to know is church is different than digital media. And digital media, I'm not here to knock, I'm not here to put it down, but it should be used as a supplement, not your steady diet. And the problem is, we're probably, and a lot of us, if we were to be real with ourselves, you can go on your cell phone and you can look and you can see how many hours a day the average iPhone user spends 5 to 9 hours a day with things open. That's not pastor's opinion. That's fact. And I think if you would go on and look at the amount of hours you're using your phone, you might be a little surprised. I was. And so I just want to encourage you to do it. See, you got to answer what you're doing and why you're doing it. The digital age should be a tool in which we can use. And know this, there's no danger in tools, but there's a danger when the tool starts using you. We're missing the role of the New Testament church. That's why I want to talk about it today. I want to explain more of today. Why church? Why church? Why does it matter? Why should I participate in the local church? Why should I go? The church is called the body of Christ. Have you ever heard the church called that? Come on, this means, yeah, I've heard that. So the body of Christ, that's what the church is called, and we represent the body of Christ. So therefore, we would represent Jesus. Would everyone agree with that? If the body of Christ is the church, then we, the church, represent Jesus. And we're here today, we that are here today, are the physical embodiment, the representatives of Jesus on earth. The church is the embassy of heaven. The church plants the flag of heaven on earth and says, this belongs to the Lord. See, we're his ambassadors. So today, why? See, if we're the body of Christ, here's what I can tell you. I've never seen a body that functions well when one's over here and one's over here and one's here. It's when they're together that a body works really well. And so, I got to share this. I wasn't going to, but it's just funny. My oldest granddaughter, we spent some time with her, and I've been watching her doing these gymnastic moves. And no one ever in the history of my family can do what I'm seeing her do. She stands, and I ain't doing it. You'd be calling an ambulance. But she stands, and she takes her hands up in the air, and she goes backwards, and she lands on her hands with her feet. I mean, it's like the St. Louis Arch. And that's what she looks like. And here's what's even more crazy. From that position, she pushes off, and then her body just comes straight back up. I can go from there. That ain't right. That's not how, but you know, when I watched her, I've never seen her rear end and her legs sitting in a chair, and then her hands only do that by themselves. It's the whole body. And I was thinking about what I was talking about as I was watching her do that last night. And I was like, good grief, that's crazy. But we are trying to say we're the church without having the body all together. And I can't see it that way, because God wouldn't use the illustration and said, hey, let's just put this body part over here and this body part over here and this body part over here and watch it function. No, it would die. Just go cut your leg off and see what happens. No, don't do that. You'd die. You'd start bleeding. It'd be bad. You can't leave your leg at home and you decide for the rest of the body to come to church. Everybody has to be, you come with the whole body. And so today I want to talk about why it's important that we have the body together. The word church in English is the Greek word, and you've heard this, and some of you are going to hear this, and you're going to go, oh my, really? We're going there. We are. Ekklesia. That's the Greek word for church in English. Now, here's what you may not have heard. I've done a pretty good study on this week. Here's what ekklesia means. It means, in the Greek, from that day and time, it means a gathering of people assembled by a herald that meets together for political, religious, and civic purposes. That's the original meaning of the church in the Greek. Ekklesia. Meeting together for political, religious, and civic purposes. Is that not overwhelming? Because the whole world tries to tell you the church don't need to have anything to do with politics, nothing with the civic community, the way our world operates, and absolutely they ought to just stay behind their walls and they can talk about all the religion they want to talk about. But it shouldn't leave that, except for the church. The whole definition means all three of those areas. So today, it's a good thing you're here, because you're going to leave here and be a part of a civic community. I mean, you're going to be a part of what's going on in the arena of life. You're also going to turn on your news and see what's going on in the political arena. Some of y'all don't turn on the news. You just look at it on your phone. But the Old Testament has this word in it also. Now, it wasn't in the Greek, but it's translated from the Hebrew. And here's what it means in the Hebrew, in addition to what it means in the Greek. It means called out of Egypt to be covenant people. So the word church in the Hebrew translated means called out. The called out ones that are in the covenant with God. Everybody with me? That's what it means. So I think it's really important where you find that. Deuteronomy 4:10 and Deuteronomy 9:10. See, when they were assembled before God, the purpose of assembling was because they were called out on purpose by God to do something. His covenant was what they were doing. They had a purpose, and it was based on the word. And in the New Testament, their purpose was to be assembled for political, religious, and civic understandings of how to function in life. Churches were social bodies that came together for policy making while being social bodies who practiced discernment and decision making on how you can be a citizen of heaven while planting the flag here on earth as ambassadors and bringing heaven to earth. That's our role as the church. And we don't understand our role. Acts 2, verse 32. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he's exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? This is a good question. Peter replied, each of you got to repent of your sins. You got to turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the name of the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners. Here's what he told them. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, the ecclesia, that day. The ecclesia, the ecclesia. They were added. By the way, scholars will say it's pronounced either or. So for all of you word people, Melanie. Added to the covenant people was what the church was. They were added into the covenant. They were added into the covenant. They were covenant people. And they were assembled to receive how to face life and make decisions based on another kingdom. Are you seeing the point here? It's just a really big deal. From the very beginning, this is right here in Acts, and it's so important. Verse 40, he gives a warning in this message. He says, save yourself from this generation. How? How do we save ourselves? I thought Jesus came to save us. He did, and that doesn't put any of that down. He'll save you from your sins. But then he says, save yourself from this generation. And I'm going to tell you, that hasn't changed. That's still the message for you today. Save yourself from this generation. How? By going to church. Really? Yeah, let me explain this even deeper because I think we'll get it the more we dive in. If we're going to save ourselves, you've got to be a part of the assembling of God's people. So that's what saves you here, here on planet Earth. Is you've got to be assembled with God's people, the body of Christ, to be able to function in a perverse world. Don't be surprised at what you see on the news and that this right here in the month of June is Pride Month. Don't be surprised by any of that. That's what the world has done. They have okayed things that the Bible clearly says is not okay. I'm not here to hate on any of them. I'm here to get equipped in church so that I know how to face that in a perverse world. But I'm going to save myself from that by being in church on Sunday. Otherwise, I won't know how to think. You're called out to belong to something new. I'm just spending some time here before I get into my 4 points because my 4 points will go relatively quick. But very few that are called out in today's world look any different than the world looks. Our allegiance and our identity should look different. The fallen world should not be our allegiance. Yeah. Come on, let me say that again. The fallen world should not be what we are aligned with. That's not where our allegiance is. Our allegiance should be with the kingdom of God. Everybody says, I agree with that. Okay, well, how do I do that? How do I save myself from that? Church. See, a new community of faith was what was birthed in Acts. And it's where they all aligned themselves for the teaching that was given by the apostles. For the food that they were consuming, even the Lord's Supper. See, all the things that were going on and the fellowship, it just talked about this in Acts chapter 2. It's so cool because all of these things were what, hey guys, this is the church. But I don't really need to go to church. I've heard that from so many people that align themselves with Jesus and say they don't need to go to church. When we're assembled together, we look more like the church than we do in any other form. It means something way bigger than belonging to a church group on Facebook or social media. So the first day of the week today, you're anchoring yourself in the church as a believer and doing what God called me to do. And I ask you today, do you even know why? Why? There's so much more than just us getting together. There's so much more than just a Sunday morning time together. It's so much bigger than that. But let me just make sure you understand, it certainly doesn't mean less than that. But people don't understand, but Pastor, I'm in church today, you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm preaching to a born-again believer for a reason that you're here today. I care about why you're here. I hope you do. Well, I want to know, why am I even here? Why am I going to be a part of this? And if this isn't your church, why are you going to be a part of any church? Why? Not just because you start your week out with it. It's way bigger than that. The early Protestant church leaders, called the Reformers, they defined activity in the church in three ways. Let me give you those today. They defined it in three ways. The reason we come together is for the faithful preaching of the word. This is the Reformers, Protestant church. You're in a Protestant church this morning. The second one was the right administration of the sacraments. And the third one was the authentic discipline and discipling of God's people. The discipline and discipling of God's people, which is probably not seen near as much in church today as what they said as the Reformers of the Protestant movement that probably ought to happen. So today, I want to talk about these three topics, and the fourth one's intertwined in all of them, so I've got four. Of what makes the gathering of the church, the assembling of you together today, important specifically, not just because it's the first day of the week, not just so that we can go hang out together, or I can further my business, or I can get something from God. Specifically, why are we here today? Here's the four reasons. And if you want to hear me talk about all of them, you might close me off from this point forward, but at least you'll get the four. Here's the first one, the Spirit. The Spirit. The second one is the scripture. The third one I'm going to talk about is the sacraments. And the fourth one I'm going to talk about is having shepherds. All four of those, very important. See, being in church is way bigger than just attendance or being a member somewhere. It's these four areas. It's spirit, scripture, sacrament, and shepherding. Let's start with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the manifest presence of God. Come on, somebody say yes. The manifest presence of God. We are gathering for more than just us being together. Many love being here just because we like each other. That's a bonus. If you go to church and someone there you actually like, you hang out long enough with God's people, you'll find somebody that you kind of clash with. I mean, it happens. This many people, chances are there'll be somebody here that's weird to you. And then a church this size also, let me just tell you, you'll be somebody's weird. So you can just know that. But what we've got to know is we're here, and one of the primary reasons is because the Holy Spirit shows up. And it's bigger than just liking each other. And it does make it easier when we like each other. But here's the deal. We're here to honor the presence of the Lord. by acknowledging his presence in our lives. Church, hear this. There is a manifestation of the presence of God that exists specifically in the gathered church for worship that doesn't exist just in your personal life. When we started singing, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. And I'm just sitting here and I'm going, I don't ever do that when I hear it on the radio. But I look over and here's Chapman. He can't dance either. It's awesome though, because we're both experiencing the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit's manifesting in a way that doesn't happen in your personal life. God's people get together, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit does something supernatural in the lives of his people. See, there's a gathering of God's people that manifests the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. Something to us collectively being together, lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm just telling you, it happened in Acts chapter 2, and it still happens today. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Let me give you a story so you don't think that I'm just taking this out of context. It's right here in Scripture. One day, these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, which is something that seems to be a forgotten thing in this day and age. And the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the work. Who told them that? The Holy Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit tell them that? Right after they had been worshiping together. Together. They didn't all come in their cars having listened to 89.1 on the radio, which is the most gospel-honoring station there is. Nor were they listening to 88.3. And whatever other ones are out there, somebody's going, I don't listen to radio, Pastor. I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, well, Spotify or Fire, whatever. Whatever you listen to it on. They were together worshiping. Do you? Well, I don't know any of these songs. I've never heard them on the radio. Well, you hear them every Sunday when you're here. Praise God. And us together then can hear from what the Holy Spirit has to say. It's awesome. It's awesome. Clarity was given after worshiping together. That's why we worship together every Sunday. And my prayer is that you sense something here as you're gathered together for worship in one accord that only happens when you're together. It's a draw. It's an excitement for the presence, the manifest presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you today, my words, Ashley's words, have very little ability to convince or convict anybody. It's the presence of the Spirit and you acknowledging him is where change comes, conviction comes. It's not my words. It's not anyone else's. There are things in life that when you encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit that he'll download into you. I know I'm supposed to do that. I know I'm supposed to change that. I know I need to go over here and take care of this. I know I need to go encourage this person. I need to go and say, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I know I, see, it's the manifest presence of God right here through the power of the Holy Spirit that equips you to go out and function tomorrow morning when you walk into work. I don't know if you've ever walked into work on a Monday and you were just like, I missed church yesterday and I just feel so unpowered. I've been there. I know you have. But when you collectively come together for worship and God shows up, and he does, all you got to do is open your eyes and say, I receive it. And there's an encounter, then you get an equipping and an empowering that happens in church. See, we gather to honor him. And we have an expectation to be in on what he's doing and what he wants done in us. We're not here to force God's hand on something. God, we're going to force your hand because we're here. No, Jesus has manifested his power in your life through the Holy Spirit, and you ought to be wanting in on it. So why would I come to church? Because the Holy Spirit shows up in a unique and a powerful way that I'm just telling you right during worship. I'm like, oh, wow. Anybody testify and say, yeah, I've been there, done that. Our identity is in Christ alone, and we need the power of the Spirit to live it out. We need the power of the Spirit to stay aligned. Church worship and enjoyment collectively in His presence places us, in His presence places us where we need to be. Let me just tell you, YouTube, social media outlets, sermon podcasts, web pages, none of those can replace what corporate worship does. They just can't. All right, number two, faithful preaching of the word. We have a culture in America where the church is all about really engaging in emotional worship. I mean, really, that's the culture we're in right now. I understand we're not in the culture that I was raised in, but our culture that we're in today, that's kind of where we're at. There's an expectation of a real emotional worship service and a short sermon. I love it when Tim Brooks gets up and says, hey, listen, anytime you think I've gone long, go back and listen to what everybody else did before I got up here. Because I didn't go long, they took my time. And he's being funny about it, but in all sincerity, there is, the shorter the sermon, the better the church service. I'm fine with the worship, I'm fine with us telling the announcements and the video stuff, and all that's really good. But let's just shorten that sermon down. And the expectation of the sermon should be not only a short reflection, but it should be encouraging. It shouldn't step on any toes. It ought to be a bunch of positive attaboys. Attaboy. Good job. Attagirl. That's what it should be. And if it's not, I'm not interested. I didn't come to church to get corrected. I'm not talking about anybody here. But I have been pastoring long enough to have seen some things. And not just in this church, but other churches. If it's approaching the time church is supposed to be out, on Sundays it's noon, and other churches have 11:30, I always ask the pastor, what time does church get out? I want to know because I always see people leaving. Now that'll probably be lessened today because I'm bringing this up. But about 11:50 on Sunday morning, 11:55, and I don't have any name here that I'm pointing out. 11:50, 11:55, we start heading out. Because we want to beat the crowd in the parking lot so we can get out. Yeah. We have this mindset that we can put up with everything else except for the word. Reformers saw the preaching of the word as their primary task for church. The Apostle Paul's final words, this is the last thing he said. He was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and it was really big here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. And here's what Paul told him, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires and will look for TikTok influencers and YouTube influencers, for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears and their algorithms want to hear. They'll reject the truth and chase after myths. Obviously, you know I added some words there, but don't they fit? Most of the younger generation, and for those of you that are wondering who that is, you probably can figure this out. And if you're one of them, hear me today. Most of the younger generation get their news and world reports from social media. Now think this through, because some of us older ones have been guilty of this. Getting our news and our world reports from social media, all of it is tailored to an algorithm that's all about giving you what you want to hear or what you listen to the most. For example, hot topic right now is, what about aliens? Pastor, really, from the pulpit? You bet. What about aliens? If you start listening to the teachings and the things that are coming up on your feeds, you'll find that be getting more feeds. See, social media with the algorithms will continue to give you more stories because that's what you were looking at. And if you're, maybe it's not aliens, maybe you're caught up on one thing going on in government. And so you research that or you start looking at that. And then you find that your whole feed is all about those areas. And that's great because that's what you're drawn to. See, it knows what you want to hear. It knows you got itching ears. We're just talking scripture here. When you're always checking the weather, every storm dar, every storm chaser, I know this. Last night I knew everything that was going on. Why? Because I had every one of my social media feeds telling me. And that, some of them it were trying to invoke a little fear. I liked it. One of them came back and said, just go to sleep, you're fine. That's the one I'm going to start watching. But I'm just telling you, algorithms, they do that. They find out what you're listening to, and then they feed you that. Please hear me. I'm not judging you. I'm trying to give you some admonition that's important. Many people might say, Pastor, I get my Bible study from YouTube or TikTok. That's a dangerous place. You mean I can't listen to stuff? No, that's not what I'm saying. But a 30 or 60 second or even a 2 minute YouTube short, at best, are encouragements. And they're not a substitute from the preaching of the Word of God. And you need to hear that today. I'm not saying every Sunday there needs to be a 2 hour sermon, but there sure doesn't need to be a 30 minute TikTok. And if that's what God's people are filling themselves with, what they want to hear in those will continue to be what they hear more of. And before long, there's no discipleship and there's no disciplines that we should be learning. Every week, you walk into the foyers of the church all over the country, and there's ones who can't sit for 45 minutes and hear the word. It's not just here. It's every church in the country. The foyer's way more entertaining than being in here sitting under the word. I'm just telling you. I talk to pastors all over, and they can't handle sitting under the word for 45 minutes. Now, they'll be here for the singing. They'll be here for everything else, but that foyer's just way easier. I don't have to deal with people. It's necessary. Come on. Yeah. Pastor, you're stepping on toes. I'm not. I'm talking about what should be your why as the church. The truth of God's word with a group of people. That's why I'm getting you to, at times to go yes or amen. I know some of y'all can just do one. But that's all right. You can get trained. I mean, here in a few weeks, you'll be doing. I don't expect any of you to get where Chapman's at, but you know what I mean? To just, that was good, Pastor. That was great. I wouldn't be able to talk if everybody talked as much as he does. I love his encouragement. Please hear me. The sermon should not be advice. It should be direction from God's word. So many are deceived in so many areas of their life. And the truth about deception is that people that are being deceived don't even know they are. It's just the truth. The Word of God studied and read aloud will break down deceptions. The Word is the standard. And when the Word is read out loud, things happen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that even if I'm delayed, you'll know how people must conduct themselves in the house of God. This is the church of the living God, and it's the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The church is the foundation of truth for a culture that's given in to every deception and every lie. The church has to be ground zero. That's where the church has to be. That's where we plant our flag of allegiance. Are we hearing this today? See, hearing the word doesn't mean at times we won't get things wrong or make a bad decision and probably not meet everybody's little want. But the word of God doesn't change, and it's valuable for life. It's authoritative. It's correction. It's direction. 2 Timothy 3, keeping on here in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you sat in church and heard the word of God and were corrected? If you haven't heard the word of God and were corrected, only offended, then you're not coming for the right reason. Church should, through the word, correct us. Us. Me too. I've heard the word delivered here countless times, and I thought I needed to hear that. See, the word comes alive. Dead things come alive. Things happen in your life. We're trained here so that we know when something's off. The Bible teaches us, it corrects us, it helps us realize, and it equips us to do the right things in life. Ephesians 4, verse 14. And then we'll no longer be immature like children. I'm so tired of immature Christians who have an option. You don't have to stay immature. We'll no longer be immature like children. When we're able to be in church and be corrected. See, we'll no longer be immature. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new TikToks. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love. I'm not saying in condemnation. We're going to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. There is a correction and rebuking that comes from truth, and you just need to know it. There's a correction and a rebuking that comes from the truth. There's a correction and a rebuking, come on, hear me today, that comes from the truth being shared. And I've been under it. See, the way people get popular on social media outlets and move up in the algorithms is to say something controversial. So know this, coming to church and hearing the word will help identify the areas that are controversial when you hear the word on TikTok. Because we got people doubting what's being preached because they're listening to a 30-second. Algorithms are going to say something controversial. Therefore, if you listen to that, the next one will say something controversial. Then the next will say something controversial. Then the next. Think about this. See if what you're listening to through the week would be preached in church on Sunday. Well, our pastor talked about aliens. Listen to the whole context of what I said. Because you won't hear things online through social media outlets that will be preached in church and backed up by the word because it's not all there. But the algorithms will tell you this is true and your pastor's wrong. The word's wrong. They don't ever say the word's wrong because no one believes the word's wrong, but you won't sit underneath it. We need to be filling our head with the word of God that's preached from the pulpit. Number three, sacraments being taken together as we're assembled. The reformers insisted that we take sacraments according to the scriptures. And we have churches that have almost formed themselves out of how they take sacraments, how they perform, how they do baptisms, how they receive the Lord's Supper, which is our two that we recognize as sacraments according to scripture. I understand if you're from a Catholic background, there's five more in addition to that, but they're not scripturally based. And I love my Catholic friends. I'm just saying, it's a Protestant church. And there's two sacraments that we celebrate. Water baptism here is a spiritually God-honoring, worshipful experience where we try to mirror right here what's going on in heaven. That's why we've got a flag that we plant here and we're bringing heaven on earth. That's why it's a celebration. It's an excitement when people get baptized. We're raising people to a new life in Christ. Just like Jesus said, I'm going to raise and give you a new life. A death, a burial, and a resurrection. That's what happens. If you haven't been scripturally baptized, you need to come talk to us. We need to get you scripturally baptized. See, the Lord's Supper has been ministered in so many different ways. Some churches do it weekly. Some do it quarterly. Others yearly. We do it monthly. Our church in Hot Springs, who we're aligned with, does it weekly. It's not how much. It's as often as you do it. See, the table of the Lord, you're nourished by life in Christ. Why wouldn't you want to partake of him? And so we do that, and as often as you do this, you're proclaiming his death, burial, and resurrection until he comes back and gets us. The best time to have done it was the week right before he's coming. I want to proclaim what he did that I couldn't do. Our faith should have a body, and it does. It's the church. Our faith should have a body. Our faith is in Jesus. So how can you turn away from what's happening at church? Why wouldn't you want to see your brothers and sisters baptized? It's the greatest thing ever. We go down to the creek every once in a while, and then we load up and go down there. There are times we have a baptistry right here. The first Sunday of every month, we partake of the Lord's Supper. Once again, let me just say this to end everything I've been talking about today. The danger that we have in digital technology, and know this, I'm using it today. Right there I am on the screen. So I'm not sitting here launching an attack against it. Right now we're live on Facebook. And most generally, Sunday afternoon, I get a text from someone saying, "That was a great message, Pastor. Thank you." So I'm not against digital technology, but the danger isn't using the tool of it. It's the tool using us. Are you hearing me today? See, the Goliath of our day is a cell phone. The sacraments should help us see past that device. And that's done collectively in church. Which leads me to the last topic. See, we're here being trained, we're being equipped. And you have a shepherd. And the danger is, for the Christian person, most people have made their shepherd their phone. There's just a danger here. The phone tells us where to eat, tells us how to get somewhere, tells us what we should do and how to do it, and if we don't know, we ask them. We've made the shepherd a cell phone. Now, the cell phone's not a shepherd, but people have been involved with idolatry and they don't even realize it. But they don't know how to function without it. In fact, I was going to use it in my sermon today, and I was debating whether or not I should run to the house and get it because I forgot it. We went to town the other day, and my wife goes, "I don't have my cell phone." And I said, "Well, I can turn around. We're already halfway there." And she goes, "No." And I'm like, how can you function without a cell phone? I'm just telling you, some of this is hitting right home for me too. We've got to understand that our disciplines, our discipling has to have a shepherd, and it can't be the cell phone. So the fourth point is shepherding. Discipline. Now, discipline needs to be defined. And I'm not talking about the discipline so many people have experienced in church and maybe ministered incorrectly. So many have been hurt. And I'm not getting caught up on church hurt, but it was something that wasn't ministered correctly in church. People have been hurt. But you know, people have also been hurt on the job. They've been hurt in home. Because where there are people, there will be hurt. And the church is full of people. And if you quit going to church because of people, that means your why was people. So are you here for the Spirit? I'm just asking, is that why you came today? Because of the Spirit of God? I came because I wanted to see a unique manifestation of God through the Holy Spirit collectively with His people. That's why I came today, and it was awesome. Is that why you came today? Or was it, I just wanted to see so-and-so? Or, I don't want to come today because so-and-so will probably be there. They offended me and they hurt. Your why can't be people. So a fourth one here today is shepherding. And know this, shepherds are the quickest ones to hurt you. Because they're up here talking in front of you every week. Because they're making decisions for the whole congregation. They're making decisions that God has told them to make, or maybe they missed it. And the one area of grace that you'll give to everybody else, you won't give to the shepherd. Shepherds miss it. But it's not because they're not trying to hear from him and do it right, but they're still people. So don't let a shepherd who has messed up, maybe even was in sin in your past life, remove you from church. No more than you're not ever going to work a job again. I'm not ever working a job again. I've been hurt at the workplace. Well, you'll be poor and broke and under a bridge before long. What? See, we just don't think this through. There's no excuse for abusive church leadership. I agree, and I want you to know that. But for every one bad pastor, there are hundreds, if not thousands, that live a life of integrity, sacrificial love, and the world won't ever even know their name. But there's thousands, and I know bunches of them. So no, there are more than just bad leaders. There are good shepherds, under shepherds, that are submitted to the shepherd. We need to define discipline here just real quick. Shepherds are to cultivate a culture of discipline. Now hear me when I say this. That's defined as loving correction and compassionate care. Loving correction and compassionate care. And they need to go hand in hand. Loving correction and then compassionate care. Compassionate care, when that's all you get, then you won't get the understanding of one side of it. When all you get is discipline and no compassionate care, we're unbalanced. But these go together. And a discipline is something that we all should have in our life. So as we discipline, we're pointing out areas that need corrected. And we receive that and we do it. I love that when my kids did something wrong, my discipline would be, no, you're not doing that again. And then they didn't do it again. It was like, praise God. What do you think God does when he says, quit doing that, and you quit doing it? Praise me. But loving correction is needed for the sake of spiritual maturing. Come on, nobody here really agrees that you should grow up without correction. Now, I understand there's such a thing as gentle parenting. There's no way around a healthy upbringing with no discipline. And so, I want you to know, you got to hear me today. It's also no excuse for manipulation. Okay, so some people, that line is very blurred for them. And if you've been abused or you've been manipulated, a lot of times you'll find it hard to see love and correction. And you think compassionate care is manipulation. Why has the church tolerated abuse and hypocrisy? Here's why. Because they tolerate everything. When a church tolerates everything, then that's what they deal with. See, abuse and hypocrisy happen when there's a lack of correction. Church together comes in and says, hey, it's not good to tolerate certain things. Correction and care says we're not going to tolerate hypocrisy. We're not going to tolerate gossip, abuse, sexual sin, backbiting. We're not going to tolerate it. And I want you to know why, because it won't work for your life. The church has so many scandals because they're tolerating everything. Whether it be leaders who are afraid to address things because they'll get mauled by the sheep, and that does happen. Shepherds exist to keep communities safe. Why aren't communities safe anymore? Because shepherds have not had a backbone to stand up and say. Everyone's looking for compassionate care. And they're fine with correction as long as it's someone else.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Church allows us to get our thinking corrected in a world that says your thinking's right. I'm going to get into more of this later, but hear this. Here's one of the reasons. It's because authenticity is one of the core, if not the core value of this generation. Be authentic. Be real. See, authenticity is the core value of our generation, and it's produced a generation of narcissists. They have no ability to see themselves with anything other than approval. So don't think about correcting me. The only thing I listen to is approval. Pew Forum survey in 2018 was conducted about why people go to church. And here was their reasons: to come closer to God, so my children will have a moral foundation, or to make me a better person. And here's what I want to tell you, and you've got to hear this. These three are all coming from self. They're all self. No mention of anything outside of themselves. No mention of anything other than them. And we need correction. Jesus said, I correct and discipline everyone I love. That's what Jesus said. Love should allow correction. Jesus does that. He's the great shepherd, and he has under shepherds who should have the ability. But we don't look at shepherding as anything necessary in the church today. With parents, there are abusive and manipulative parents. But just because there are some that have abused their children and manipulated their children doesn't mean there's now no need for parents. It just means that those kind need corrected and the rest need to grow and mature. Just because some of us have been hurt by a shepherd doesn't mean that we don't need one. And there are many good ones. There are pastors on staff here, and I can tell you that they love, and at times they discipline, but it's all through the Word. They've got to love through the Word, they've got to discipline through the Word, and they've got to bring care through the Word. See, unbridled self-expression has made it difficult for the church to allow the shepherd through the Word to tell the truth in love and have compassionate care, because the sheep have produced a fear in the shepherds. The assembling of God's people, the church, is not about size. It's not about power. It's not about attendance. It's not about finances, it's not about recognition, and it's not even about a new building. Right. It's about being the covenant people of God, living for the covenant purposes of God in a world where being defined by the Spirit of God, being present through us getting together and rightfully honoring who's worthy, while the Word of God is preached, while the sacraments are rightfully ministered, and the people are shepherded through care and discipline, that is why this church meets every week. Amen. And I pray that that becomes your why if it hasn't been. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me this morning.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.